Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. And we're down at the owners meetings with Courtney Cronin, who, I mean, listen, you got to be living it up a little bit down there. Seems like the weather's a little bit better outside.
Yeah, it's a little nicer than Chicago. No, it's a little nicer than Chicago right now. It's warm. There's a water slide next to me if you're watching on the stream right now. But no, there's been a lot of information that we've gleaned the last 48 hours from George McCaskey, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, Matt Eberflus, and the position this team is in now, still the talk of the league, even though they traded Justin Fields, because in less than a month, Pat, Caleb Williams is expected to be on this roster, or at least part of the process being drafted on April 25th. And the comments about the interactions that this team had with Caleb Williams during his pro day last week, and also what they expect from him at his Halas Hall top 30 visit. There's a lot going on there and a lot to dissect.
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's start it off there. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let's start it off there, because hearing yesterday from Ryan Poles on the whole Caleb Williams situation, kind of the trading of Justin Fields, but now seeing that, okay, it seems like they're leaning Caleb. What are they hearing about him? What are they gleaning from him? Just heard him on McAfee talking about how Caleb just continues to check these boxes. He still won't go on record and say what he's going to do. He never will. But are we so far down the road with this that we're just worried about the ninth pick at this point?
It feels like that, because all of the comments, there's not been a single question here. And granted, Jaden Daniels' pro day is not until tomorrow. Drake May's pro day, the other top quarterback in the draft, is on Thursday. Yep. So USC already had their pro day. I wonder if those questions would have changed had the schedule been different. But I will say the line of questioning and their response and how open this team and these decision makers have been about what they expect from Caleb Williams, what they have already seen from him, the interactions with his teammates, what stood out. They've been very transparent about how much they really like this guy. And that's good. Like, that's good for them to know that you don't have to tiptoe around it. At least, you know, you wouldn't do that. If you didn't really feel comfortable about the guy, you'd probably put up some, you know, guardrails about, we're not going to get into this yet. We're still in the draft process. We're still evaluating the other quarterbacks. But after the conversation shifted from Justin Fields to who's next very clearly became Caleb Williams. Like, you know, we knew that, but like, it cemented it. And the way they're talking about it kind of gives you that belief that, or at least by the way they're talking, that this is their guy and they're going through this process in real time and letting you know in real time how they feel about him.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yesterday hearing Ryan talk about it, by the way, shout out, you are doing a great job promoting for Apple right now, because I see the wind whipping your hair around it's and I hear none me, of dude. It. The it's Apple wonderful. Headphones are elite. My God.
You know, these headphones have never steered me wrong. It's usually audio issues that do. But these things are the OG. They have always, always had my back. And you're right. It is windy here. Very windy.
I'm just sitting here watching you do it, and I'm like, I hear no wind. It just looks like somebody's like throwing your hair. But I think
sponsor me, Apple.
The part that, hey, Apple, listen, you know, partner up, dog. What are you doing? You know, Steve Jobs. Shout out to you from beyond. You know what I mean? But no, I think that the fact that we heard yesterday when he talked about Caleb Williams, he talked about the maturity that he showed at the meeting. He talked about how, you know, the intellect that the young man has and how he is as a leader. And I think he checked off a box that so many Bears fans who were Justin Fields fans realistically had. The biggest thing that we knew we could count on with Justin was leadership and that his teammates would have his back. We hear Ryan Poles yesterday say, listen, I'm struggling to find somebody who doesn't like this kid. I'm struggling to find somebody who has a bad thing to say about this young man. And I think that's kind of, for me, at least it was, the last box that needed to be checked, because I knew the kid could play, but it was, okay, what's he going to be when he walks in the locker room, especially as somebody coming in with NIL money already in his pocket, he's already rich. So what can you provide outside of the finances to get this guy on track?
And that's like the endorsement that these coaches, or that, you know, Eberflus, and certainly by way of that Shane Waldron, because, you know, he's the offensive coordinator. I don't think they'd be going after a quarterback that they would not expect him to have success in working with. But Eberflus speaking for his entire staff, Ryan Poles speaking for his entire staff, Kevin Warren in the role that he's in. I mean, he's over football operations, so he gets a say in this too, even though he says, you know, he doesn't get in the way of Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus in their evaluation. The maturity part, the intellect part, the emotional, the EQ, I think is really what stood out to this organization over the last week or so as they've been able to check that box off. And Matt Eberflus talked about it today, how at, you know, the number one thing that stood out, the arm talent. The arm talent on the film matched the arm talent at the pro day. But bigger than that was how he interacted with his teammates at the pro day, the guys that were catching passes from him, the guys that he was setting up to maybe get a look from some of the other teams that were in attendance. All 32 were represented there. Yeah. And seeing how he interacted with those receivers at the dinner that the Bears put on. And what Matt Eberflus said is that this is somebody who, where I have the quote right here. Let me try to find it. It's really bright. He said, "You can certainly see those players love him and respect him and what he's brought to that program. You don't say that about somebody you're not sure about." And the feeling that the Chicago Bears have gotten so far is that we have a very tight-knit locker room right now. We have a culture that we spent the last 2 years building and to be able to get this thing on track to where this can be the year that's the launch pad. We have the right infrastructure in place. We've got to make sure we're bringing in the right guy to then help this team take the next step. So far, from what we know about their view of Caleb Williams, those boxes are checked. Like, there's no concerns that they have over, is this guy going to be the right fit, culturally speaking, for our team? Like, you're right, Pat. We know he can play. It's what the Bears are telling you. Now, does everything else line up? And, you know, dare I say, it feels kind of like a dream scenario for them that it does, because, and some people might think, okay, well, what else are they supposed to say? I could tell you they damn sure would not be saying glowing comments like this and making such like big statements about Caleb Williams if they didn't believe the character to be true and like how good of character it is.
Yeah, that's my thing. When I keep getting the, well, what do you expect them to say? What do you think they're going to say? Why would they talk bad about this? Because they don't believe in him. Because they don't believe he'd be the number one overall pick. You think that they'd give like these stamps of approval on very specific things that all Bears fans have looked at and gone, I don't know about that, because this is what's being reported. Like, it's not sitting here telling you that he's got to be the perfect quarterback coming in day one. But we know how the NFL works. Usually when there's a situation and you don't believe in somebody, you go, well, we're still doing our evaluations. You know, we don't really know what's going on.
You're more guarded in the comments that you make about the guy. They wouldn't entertain this many questions on him in that way. Like, they would shut it down. But you've got Ryan Poles talking about, you know, being very transparent with the fact that he truly is the first NIL era quarterback. Like, I went on SportsCenter yesterday and said that. I know a couple of people are like, what about Bryce Young? What about CJ Stroud? They were technically in college, but like, I'm sorry, nobody's cashed out on NIL opportunities the way that Caleb Williams has. Yeah. And that's different. Like, teams have not dealt with that. Guys who have already made $10 million have, like, by the time they get to their first NFL game, that's so different for a locker room dynamic. And I came away impressed from a one-on-one conversation I had with Ryan Poles here after our group availability about how he views the infrastructure, the team, quote unquote, that's around Caleb Williams, because a lot has been said about the handlers, the people who he's being insulated by. And Ryan Poles does not view that as a negative. He views it as something that is frankly very positive, because Caleb Williams was able to massage that and get that process out of the way and kind of figured out while he was still in college and capitalize on those NIL opportunities. And then also at the same time, play at the highest level that makes you the presumptive number one pick in the draft. It's not like he's going to all of a sudden be doing, you know, achieving success in the NFL and learning about capitalizing on business opportunities all at the same time. Like, he's done that. And I know it doesn't sit well with everybody, because a lot of traditionalists will think, okay, well, he's got to earn it. Like, he hasn't done anything in the NFL yet. No one's saying he has, but the business acumen and the football acumen, this is like the process of the Bears, not just with Caleb Williams, but from here on out, this is what they're going to have to go through, because more athletes, because of the Caleb Williams of the world, are going to be having that door opened for them to go capitalize on these opportunities, which will then in turn change how teams have to evaluate the entire body of the person, yeah, entire body of work when those guys are draft eligible prospects.
No, 100%. I think that, you know, we're hearing a lot of good things. If you were having any concern, or even, I think that I'm still a Justin Fields guy, but I'm very optimistic about what comes in, what is coming to Chicago, because Ryan Poles has built it up. All right. So what's interesting, we a lot of conversation about this number one overall pick, of course, with Ryan Poles talking about it. First time we get to hear about it. Love having the conversation, but then there's also the conversation on how do you help the number one overall pick. And I rode to the draft today, brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. We actually got to hear from Matt Eberflus today, and he talked about what he kind of feels the Bears are going to do, and of course he knows, with that ninth overall pick, saying that they're either going to go with a player that helps the quarterback or affects the quarterback with that ninth overall pick. Now, does affect the quarterback mean go out and get a defender, go out and get somebody who can pressure the opposing quarterback? Because to me, I took it as affecting your quarterback, allowing him to have time, allowing him to have more time in the pocket, different things like that, more so focused on Caleb than focused on getting to the quarterback on the other side.
I'm with you on that. And I know we heard something similar yesterday from Ryan Poles, just about how they're going to approach that position at nine. And yeah, they might be tempted to trade back there. It would be a good spot if they could recoup some draft capital. Yeah. You know, Poles says he's not stressed about only having four picks, but that's weird. Like, for him, this guy has had double digit draft classes the last couple of years, but it's how you interpret the word effect.
Yeah.
Like, how does that verb work? Are you going after the quarterback? Was it with, you know, they might be the first team to have their pick of the litter of all the defensive players if the board truly goes 1 through 8 all offense. But if the receiver that they love is there, if an offensive lineman is there, I could see that being the way to affect the quarterback, because the way that this team has been built, and you can go back to the Khalil Mack trade, the day that happened 2 years ago, it showed you that things are going to start skewing offense here in Chicago, in a place that has been, in a place that's been so defense heavy for a long time. And it's not to say they don't spend on defense. We know they spend on Tremaine Edmonds, on TJ Edwards, on Montez Sweat, on Jalen Johnson, but the priorities here, in being able to be a team that can contend and be one of the best in the NFL, you have to get the quarterback position right. Hell, to like contend in your own division, yep, you have to get the quarterback position right, which means the infrastructure has to be right. And that was one thing that Matt Eberflus said today when I asked him about going out and getting a center. Like, that was one of their big moves that they made before free agency, when they traded a fifth for Ryan Bates. And I looked at that situation as their way to make sure that they had the center quarterback exchange shored up, so that won't be an issue, because that was an issue the last couple of years. And Flus called it a critical piece because of the quarterback, because you have a young quarterback coming in. Why not make sure that he has all of the right pieces to go have success early on, so he's not climbing an uphill battle? So at nine, it's just going to be tough, because with the receivers, like, if the top three guys are gone, they've really got to love somebody there at nine in order to not trade back. But if you had to ask me today, rank the positional, like, what I think that they do with that spot, I'd say receiver number one, like, in terms of percentages, receiver would be the highest percentage, offensive tackle, offensive lineman would be the second, and then defensive end would be third. Because Flus also said that there is a path towards adding a veteran before the draft or after the draft. And we saw them do that last year with Unique Ngakoue in, you know, right before training camp started. I think they'd probably like to have more of that shored up, or at least that position. You know, they need another pass rusher. I think that's pretty obvious, but it doesn't have to necessarily be there at nine.
When I think about the options that the Bears have, especially at nine, do you feel like they're comfortable enough to take a wide receiver and not go with the long-term answer by bringing in Ryan Bates? I mean, while I have my concerns with adding, having another guard swap in at center, I can't sit here and say that they don't believe in this guy because they wanted to sign him before to play that role. They traded draft capital for him to kind of play that role. Does it feel like they feel Ryan Bates is their long-term answer at the center position? He's only 27, so if you do, yeah.
Yeah, long-term is probably relative, like long-term for like right now, but I do think that they view this as he's going to be the starter. Like he's going into camp competing as a starter because this team has done so much research on him. Like they almost, you know, got him 2 years ago as a restricted free agent before Buffalo matched the offer sheet. So the position that they're in right now with Ryan Bates leads me to believe that Coleman Shelton is the backup center. And that's good depth because Coleman Shelton was a starting center for the Rams for the better part of the last two seasons. So that's better than what they can say they had the last 2 years. And one thing that Poles keeps talking about is just like how, you know, it just wasn't up to standard last year. And he was disappointed at how the interior of the offensive line for a multitude of reasons, whether it was, bad play, injuries, a lot of things were a factor there.
Snapping the football over the quarterback's head.
For them, it's like, all right, let's just like not have that happen by getting a position out of the way instead of rolling the dice.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, you know, with the aggressiveness on the offensive line, all of it speaks to trying to build that perfect scenario for a young quarterback to come into. Let's hope that these moves end up working out a little bit better than how the Lucas Patrick move ended up going. And I think the fact that you have a legitimate center as well as a young guy that you feel can slide over there, I guess I can be a little bit more comfortable with that. Let's keep this thing moving along. Don't hit that like button, subscribe to the page if you have not done so. That was our road to the draft brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. A quick other draft question that I have to ask you, which goes into the rule change. And I felt like this is a great way to just break up the monotony of quarterback talk. But is Ryan Poles about to be one of the greatest foresight GMs we've ever seen? Because with the new kickoff rule change, Velus Jones might actually become a superstar. like the ability to let the ball bounce, grab it, get ahead of steam, and be able to take off where you need one block to get to the end zone. Not only may we see offense come back, but Velus Jones might be useful for the Bears this season.
Yeah, and George McCaskey was right today when he said it's the most anticlimactic play in football. And if you can prevent your returner from potentially muffing a kick or a punt, the way that we have seen a lot of times with Velus Jones, then you get to, then, you know, the foresight there. I don't know if they thought this rule was going to go into play when they drafted him, but hey, it might give him a new lease on, you know, his career, because right now they don't have a lot of depth in that receiver room. Like they're in a much better spot today, having a 1A and 1A. That is what Flus called Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I'm not sure who, if I guess he's just, you know, not using B. So it's like 1A and 1A. So okay. But like beyond that, there's not any proven depth. And who knows if Tyler Scott can make that next step. If there's somebody else that they draft, certainly that player would be, you know, a very big part of what they do offensively. But for Velus, like this is year three for him. He's got to be able to put it together and find a role for himself if he wants to stay on the roster much longer. And, you know, with the kickoff change, the kickoff rule change, I think that's going to be a pretty, you know, thing that's probably going to help benefit him going forward.
Yeah, I thought it was great because I was sitting here, I was like, you got to come out and beat your chest a little bit if this actually like turns him into a great player. Like, just because it's like, hey man, sometimes you swing, you never know what you're gonna get. The rule changes allowed it. Let's finish it off here, Courtney. Got an interesting update on the stadium from Kevin Warren today. And I'm not going to lie to you. I took this as somebody who has watched the Bears be a more mom and pop style organization for most of our lives. I took this as Kevin Warren telling Arlington Heights, yesterday's price is not today's price. When you heard the comments on, listen, we're looking to put shovels in ground in Chicago soon, not sitting here pushing this off. Do you feel like Chicago is going to end up finally being the place, or is this a as many people would call it, a bully tactic to get Arlington Heights to fall in line.
They have said repeatedly, and Kevin Warren today focusing on, like he said, you know, singular focus, laser focus. The word focus was used a lot to describe what they're going to do with the stadium, and that if all goes according to plan and every obstacle is crossed, meaning financially, they've got to figure out where the other money's coming from for the infrastructure around the stadium after the $2 billion investment, that they will be putting shovels in the ground on the lakefront. And Kevin Warren, as we know, has been, he's got his hand in a lot of different pots, but with the stadium thing, to navigate the politics that come with this and to be able to say to Arlington Heights, thank you, but no thank you. You guys missed your window. And, you know, whatever Hail Mary they're trying to throw right now with the proposed tax cut, all of those things, the Bears can't have two separate stadium sites and two cities bidding against each other to try to have this team in their city. I don't think that's good for business. I don't think that that's good for, it may feel like a leverage thing, but it just doesn't feel like the right move here. And the Bears trying to stay on the lakefront, you know, Kevin Warren is full steam ahead on that. And I know that, like, there's not, like, the concrete plan just yet. And I asked, I was like, is there renderings ready? He's like, not now, but soon. So it'll be renderings. It'll be, you know, a video of kind of what that whole area is like. He brought up the fact that, there's a Sports Business Journal article that came out the other day. And it was like the top 25 sports cities, you know, of hosting things. And Orlando's actually number one, which kind of like interesting to think about that. But you got to like, yes, there's one pro team here, but think about all of the events that come here, all of the, you know, football games in the fall. And yes, it's a warm weather city, but Chicago wasn't on that list. And you can tell that really bothered Ryan Poles. That really bothered Kevin Warren, and he wants to change that. He wants to be able to bid for Super Bowls. There's never been a Super Bowl in Chicago. That bothers him. He wants to provide jobs, through the various infrastructure, the various avenues of creating that infrastructure. And he wants to be able to have big marquee events outside of NFL games in that area on the museum campus. And I know it's kind of been whiplash of like, all right, which is it going to be? The back and forth that we saw all last summer of, you know, between Arlington Heights and the Chicago Bears, and then other teams get involved, and Chicago is able to reemerge after a new mayoral change happened in the picture. I think that that's a really big part of, you know, the picture that we're seeing painted here right now about where the Chicago Bears are headed, as much as the quarterback talk, as much as the team, you know, being constantly in the news, like the stadium stuff is a very big deal. And I know that, like, you know, it's like finding a concrete timeline is kind of difficult, but we should hear something this year. Like within 2024, they have to be able to announce that, because I'll have to look it up. But like Kevin Warren said something today about like every year that they don't have a stadium, like more or less they're losing money.
Yeah.
They're losing money. They're costing themselves that opportunity. And it's not just, you know, this is somebody who took a team in the Minnesota Vikings who were bottom five in revenue when he took over, all the way to being in the top quarter of the NFL in revenue. That's the mindset that he's going to be operating on here with the Chicago Bears, to give like these fans and give this city a stadium that is going to be multi-purpose, and have, you know, this world-class experience that helps further value the value of this team.
Yeah. I mean, listen, again, I just love seeing my team make big boy moves after being, I don't want to say small minded, but just thinking, you know, we've got Chicago, it's here. This is where we're going to be. Even if we wanted to move, you know, this has been the city that supported us. This is more of a like, listen, we wanted to leave, but Chicago didn't want us to leave. Arlington Heights didn't want to play ball. And now, guess what? We're getting a better end of the deal on this. We're getting to break new ground. We got the lakefront with us. We don't have to help you build up the infrastructure of your cities around of the surrounding hotels, the restaurants, and all of that, because it's Chicago. So, like, I thought he was very poignant in mentioning all of those very specific things, because it's like, listen, while you may believe that $197 million and being the biggest landowner in Arlington Heights is a hindrance to us if we do nothing with that land, guess what? We're the Chicago Bears. We're a multi-billion dollar organization. We will recover from that and we will be able to move on from that because we're going to have everything around us already preset.
Yeah.
Just feels like the Bears are moving different.
At this point, it looks like Arlington Heights fumbled the bag on this in a big way. And, you know, could it all be for leverage? Maybe, but wouldn't that be such a strange about face to be like, all right, we're all in on Chicago, and then all of a sudden pivot off that? You've got George McCaskey signed onto this, and we know the McCaskey family, how much they love the history of this team and love, you know, playing in the city of Chicago. I would really not venture to guess that they're willing to move off of that. I think that, like, they've got their sights set now on being able to stay where they are, just go a little further south. And they'll figure out the logistics. They'll figure out the parking. They'll figure out if we create more space for the museum campus, for, you know, parks, all things like that, and for the stadium, where the other stuff comes from.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hoops to jump through. And I don't think we're anywhere close to getting a resolution on this, but at least they're, like, going in some direction after, you know, hitting the snag last year in June and not really being able to recover from that or have a path out of that area until recently.
Yeah, I just do something to help LSD, because I guess for the people not in Chicago, Lakeshore Drive, not the drug, but, like, do something to help LSD, because this is going to be a nightmare.
I can't even imagine.
Every week. Because a closed stadium, he's talking about Final Fours, concerts, March Madness. That's going to be a nightmare to drive one. But, Courtney, we know you got to run. There's a ton of stuff still going on out there. We'll have you back on Thursday to get even more insight from you. Appreciate you for rocking with us today. Appreciate you guys for watching the show. As always, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Courtney Cronin, I'm Pat the Designer. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear done. Let's get a nice new stadium, new quarterback. We got wide receiver. It's crazy. Peace.